On top of the station, there was always a park. The park was always planned. The situation was we needed the park because we needed the weight of the soil on top. It wasn't a station that was designed with air rights in the future. It wasn't to have a building built over it. Some of the stations on the Jubilee Line, Bermondsey, for example, they were designed to actually take structures on top. Canary Wharf wasn't, but we needed the park as part of this process of holding the building in the ground. It was also part of the overall master plan that Canary Wharf was going to have this public park, and out into the park were going to come the entrances that dropped everybody into the park, and it became an amenity. The park originally was quite a flat park. After the station finished and more money became available, there was more topography and more elements added to the park than there were in the early days. And those were added by Canary Wharf Limited later, which was great. You know, it was a great thing to see happen. I think the other thing that is very interesting is the lack of signage in the station, which was something else that we fought for. Because, you know, London Underground was confusing. It was a confusing place. It had too much signage, and the signage manuals were completely mad and didn't look at buildings or didn't take account of what the buildings were. And again, if you create a great big box that you could see the surface through and you can see when you enter it where the trains are, you don't need much signage. And so Canary Wharf, the signage became very much reduced to the frieze which runs along the wall, which was the traditional way of signing in the underground. But we tried to, again, control as much of the signage as we possibly could.